Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. T.J. Newman is a former bookseller turned flight attendant who worked for Virgin American and Alaska Airlines from 2011 to 2021. She wrote much of her new novel, Falling, on cross-country red-eye flights while her passengers were sound asleep. Falling follows pilot Bill Hoffman after he's been given an impossible choice: crash the plane he's currently flying or let his kidnapped family die. Despite being rejected by 41 literary agents, Newman ended up with a seven-figure publishing deal and Universal acquiring the movie rights to the book for $1.5 million, following a bidding war that made the front page of The Hollywood Reporter. Again, the new novel is Falling. It is a great pleasure to welcome T.J. Newman to this week's book show. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for having me on. I am listening to you sort of recap all of that, and every time I hear it, I just shake my head and go, holy cow, how did...
Well, it is one of those things that if you wrote that story, people would say, oh, that's a fairy tale, and would probably reject you more than 41 times.
Exactly. It feels like a fairy tale, and I'm just going day by day, taking it day by day, you know, and it's only when I stop and listen to something like that, like a comprehensive, you know, Cliff Notes bullet point, this is what happened, that I'm like, I can't believe that's what's actually happened, but here we are.
So, and your backstory is really interesting, because initially you want to be an actor. You are interested in musical theater. That was the original goal, correct?
That was the original plan, yes. I got a degree in musical theater. And then I moved to New York and started, you know, down the starving artist path towards fulfilling my dream of being on Broadway. And it was nothing but failure. I mean, really abject failure. It's a tough road. And I left after a while and moved back to Phoenix, back in with my parents. And then I'm doing the, you know, mid-20s. Back living at home in my childhood bedroom. What am I going to do with my life? I just fell flat on my face in front of my friends and family and the whole world. And that's when I got a job at Changing Hands Bookstore, a local independent bookstore here in Phoenix. And that was where everything started to shift. I felt like coming home in so many ways, but it was getting back to my creative roots in a far more private and personal way. I could write and be creative, but not in a way that was so out there like I just had in New York, which was so public and so embarrassing. So I started writing all the time just for myself. After a while, the opportunity to fly and be a flight attendant came up. And as the daughter of a flight attendant and the sister of a flight attendant, I knew the benefits of the job and I felt like it was something I couldn't pass up. So I left the bookstore to go fly, and it was while I was flying that I had the idea for this story. And that is when all of the pieces just kind of started falling together. And here we are.
Let us talk just for a moment about, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're a former bookseller and Changing Hands Bookstore in Phoenix. The idea of writing had to have been something that you were always interested in then. And as you say, it gave you the opportunity to try writing because in an independent bookstore, you're surrounded by creativity.
Exactly. It was nonstop inspiration daily. And when I used to shelve books by authors with my last name, Newman, I would take my thumb and I would cover their first name, and I would pretend that it was my own book that I was shelving. As nerdy as that sounds, I would always sort of look around to make sure nobody was watching me as I did it.
When you figure out that that's what you want to do, then you're a flight attendant. You become a flight attendant, as you say. Your mom was a flight attendant. Your sister's a flight attendant. So you go, you take this job because, while lovely, independent bookselling doesn't exactly pay the bills and you want to go out in the world. So how did you feel about being a flight attendant, about doing that job?
I loved it. It was another job that, as soon as I got in there, I knew it was a perfect fit. I love traveling. I love being in a different city every night. I loved the cruise. I loved the people that I flew with. And I loved most of the passengers that I had the opportunity to fly with too.
I'll ask you about that in a little bit, but let me just explore for a moment because you bring up a couple of things in the context of the novel, and this book is very sympathetic to flight attendants, and you have a wonderful character, which we'll talk about in just a second, main character, who, you know, epitomizes like the perfect person, not only a perfect flight attendant. What I'm interested in, though, is the idea that you present to us of what we think of as the stereotypical flight attendant and what you actually do. This idea that instead of just being a cocktail waitress at 35,000 feet, that your job there is for the safety of the aircraft.
Exactly. And I have to say, it's been one of the most gratifying responses that I've gotten to this book is I'm consistently hearing, I had no idea. I had no idea flight attendants, you know, were that well trained and had that much responsibility and could do all that. It's really increased my respect for flight attendants. And that just makes me so happy because there's a common misconception that flight attendants are on board just for service, that we're just there to bring you a drink. And I promise if we were solely on board to bring you a drink, they would have replaced us with vending machines a long time ago.
And you point out in the 6-week training of being a flight attendant, you really cover the cocktail part of it for a day.
Absolutely. It's just not our focus. If the only thing you see a flight attendant doing is service, that's a great day because that means we're not doing our job. Our job is to ensure the safety and security of the passengers on board that aircraft and to be medical first responders. Service is just something that we gladly provide.
So doing the overnights, doing the red eye, gave you an opportunity to, since service wasn't as needed and you have everyone fairly secure, you have an opportunity to write.
That's exactly right. I worked most of the time up in first class, which meant I had the forward galley all to myself. And once we were in the air and had everybody, you know, taken care of and asleep and service done, then it would get quiet and I would go to work. And I would write by hand on, you know, everything from the back of the passenger manifest and catering bills to cocktail napkins that, you know, sometimes I'd have enough time and it'd be quiet enough that I could get entire, you know, chapters and scenes in. And then other times all I had was a quick moment to jot down an idea on a napkin and shove it in my apron pocket and keep going.
There have been a couple of publications that have printed the actual napkin where all this started from, which is really cool to see. It's on a Virgin American cocktail napkin, and you have written down impossible choice, his family ? Or the passengers. In the right-hand corner, there's a word that says pacing. And you have flight attendant, crew, our heroes. So these are things that you knew from the very beginning. I assume this was like the rules you were setting for yourself at the very beginning.
That's exactly right. And that's all I had in the beginning. I had the concept, which was a pilot in an impossible situation. And what does he do? And then sort of I knew the tone, which is that's where the pacing came in. I knew that I wanted the pace to be relentless. I wanted the reader to never have a moment where they felt they could put the bookmark in and carry on. And those kind of became my guiding principles and sort of the guiding ideas that I was moving towards. Because other than that, I didn't have anything. I didn't plot this book ahead of time. I had no idea how it would end up. I had no idea what would happen. There's a scene in the book where Captain Hoffman first discovers the predicament that his family's in. Yes. And that is the first scene that I wrote. And I started there because that's all I had. I only had the concept. And the concept actually came to me when I was at work. I was working a red eye and I was standing at the front of the plane. And it's, as you described, it's dark. It's quiet. Everybody's asleep. You know, it's a red eye. And I'm looking out at the passengers and I have this thought that their lives, my life, all of our lives are in the hands of the pilots. But for the first time, because that's not a groundbreaking thought. That's fairly obvious. But it was the
Right.
first time that I thought of the flip side of that, which is that with that much power and responsibility, how vulnerable does that make a commercial pilot? I couldn't shake the thought. And a couple of days later, I was flying a different trip with a different set of pilots, and I said to the captain one day, "Hey, what would you do if your family was kidnapped and you were told if you didn't crash the plane, they would be killed? What would you do?" And the look on his face terrified me because I knew he didn't have an answer, and I knew that terrified him. And that was when I knew I had a book to write.
What is fascinating in the novel is that there is a door. There's the cabin door, and that is really the two sides. There's what's happening in the front of the plane with the captain, and then the flight attendants, the three flight attendants in the back of the plane with the passengers. You do this beautifully because it's really two completely different worlds, and because of what is going on, they have very little communication with one another.
And it's this interesting aspect to be so close yet so far. You know, once that door is shut, it really is exactly as you described, two worlds. And I think that's another aspect that I think passengers don't realize that, you know, once that door is shut, it's just you and the flight attendants.
Right.
The pilots are up front. They're worried about taking care of the plane, you know, the airframe. They're flying the aircraft. It's just you guys back there. So I love that. I loved sort of digging into that dynamic of two worlds so close yet so far.
You have a great scene where a passenger gets up and thinks they're going to take care of this and barges up to go into the cabin, and the flight attendant says, "Well, that doesn't work that way. That door doesn't open. We can't get in, you can't get in." Which, of course, happened as a result of 9/11, and a lot of this novel was shaped, I guess, by 9/11 because of the terrorist aspect of it.
I think that the shadow of the tragedy on 9/11 will always be present in the collective consciousness of the aviation world and of everyone's world. It's just something that it changed everything. And so anything dealing with aviation, whether it's this completely fictitious story or just you traveling, you know, headed down to the airport to take a flight, it will always be present.
T.J. Newman is our guest. The name of the new novel is Falling. It is out from Avid Reader Press. You know, sometimes when people try to explain the books, it's really hard to do. Here is the explanation on the back of the galley copy that I got. You just boarded a flight to New York. There are 143 other passengers on board. What you don't know is that 30 minutes before the flight, your pilot's family was kidnapped. For his family to live, everyone on your plane must die. The only way the family will survive is if the pilot follows his orders and crashes the plane. Well, there you go. I mean, that seems simple, although it is so complex and so rife with worry and concern. And as you just said, you know, these tremendous choices that all parties have to make. But the setup of it is brilliant in its simplicity.
Yeah, and I think that's why when I had the concept come to me, when I had the story idea, I think that simplicity is what made me know that I had something. It was just so simple and so stark, and it just immediately engages you, the reader. You know, when you listen to the back copy, it's asking you as the reader, well, what would you do? And you're immediately a participant in
Right.
this story.
Let me go back to that cocktail napkin for a second, because in the right-hand corner it says pacing. In my reading of this novel, you nailed the pacing. I mean, it is the perfect thriller because you're holding on for the ride. In all of the revisions, is that basically what you were working on?
Pretty much, yeah. I, you know, in the revision process, which was a lengthy process. Like I said, I wrote over 30 different drafts of this before it all was said and done. And the way I got to that pacing ultimately, first I just got the story down. And then I basically went, you know, started with a machete and then worked my way down to a scalpel and just took out everything that wasn't absolutely vital. My goal was to make it so that not a single scene, not a single interaction, not a single sentence was superfluous. I wanted everything to be positively vital. And I think that economy of words and action just kept that pace relentless.
When you look at the main characters, let's talk first about the pilot, Bill. Give us a sense of who this guy is.
He is your classic pilot, type A, alpha leader, logical, rational, left-brained, good man. And he's put in this horrific position. And that's what I found most fascinating, is that pilots are trained to not let emotion factor into their actions and decisions in the cockpit. That's how they are trained. That's the way piloting works. And so I was fascinated by this idea of what happens. What does someone in that position do when they are asked to do the opposite of everything they've been trained to, which is to factor in emotion in their decision-making process?
Bill's wife and Joe, who is a flight attendant who he has worked with for a long time, they all really think that there's no way this guy isn't landing the plane, although you don't know because these circumstances have been presented to him that his family could be killed, and that puts everything in question.
Yeah, it's sort of this idea of what happens when a unstoppable force meets an immovable object. It's like, right. What is going to happen? This doesn't seem like it's going to work out, will it?
Let's talk about Joe, who is this really great character. And I mean, yes, the pilot is the star of the book, I guess, but Joe is like the co-star, right? I mean, co-billing, I'd say.
I agree. And look, hey, I might have an angle there. I mean, I was a flight attendant, so it's like that's how I see the cabin. It's like, yes, the pilot is in control, and yes, he is the top of the chain of command, absolutely. But there's a scene in the book where Bill says to Joe, you know, once this door is shut, this is your cabin. You're on your own back here. This is you. So as far as the chain of command is concerned, in the back of the aircraft, Joe is at the top. That's how I see that relationship. That's how I see that dynamic. And it came out in the book. And I'm thrilled that people are responding so positively to Joe, because if I'm being honest, she's my favorite character in the book. She's just this powerhouse force of nature who is just a consummate professional with a smile and ready to, you know, provide wonderful service. And the second things go sideways, she is ready to handle business.
And I think for anyone who has flown and has been in a plane, will look up and meet people and think, as they read this book, and say, oh, yeah, you can see Joe in many of these wonderful flight attendants who are in the cabin of the plane.
And it's been I've actually gotten several responses to that effect, where I've read, you know, online, I'm a flight attendant, I read this book, and I'm telling you, I know Joe. I have flown with Big Daddy. Like, yeah. You know, all three of the flight attendants are completely fictitious, but there's certain characteristics that they have that are just kind of universal, this resourcefulness and this humor. There's a lot of humor that, you know, we have to use to get through the day, whether or not it's just dealing with an unruly or just difficult passenger, or if we're dealing with a major mechanical issue or some sort of, you know, major situation. Humor is vital to keeping balance in those unbalanced situations.
So you get rejected so many times, and then finally you land an agent, and then there's this bidding war and everything just explodes. At that point, you're still working on parts of the novel, right? I mean, there's still work to be done on the novel, and yet you have a two-book deal. It must be a really weird place to be in, because there's all this trust being put on you that this is going to be the next biggest thing, and oh, by the way, you still have to finish it.
Kind of like the top of the interview where I was like, wow, when I hear it laid out, it really brings it home. And
right.
Yeah, exactly. There again, it's, you know, I try not to focus on it too much, because if I do, it does become overwhelming. And I try to just be focused on when it does feel overwhelming. I just remind myself, TJ, you worked really hard and you faced a lot of rejection and there was a lot of pain to get to the point that you can feel this overwhelmed and this busy and this, you know, aware of the pressure of everything around you. And it just changes it all to where it's just exciting, Overwhelming, yes, but overwhelming in the best of ways. I worked really hard to be this overwhelmed.
And I know you're working on another novel, but will flight be included in it? Is that sort of your milieu now, or do you not want that to be it?
I think I've got a big stack of stories that I'm dying to tell, and they're all across the board. And I am playing the second book just as close to the chest as I played the first one.
Yeah.
But I will say that I don't think that I used a decade worth of experience in something as fascinating as aviation. I don't think I used up all my ideas and material in one book.
So my understanding is, you say, you know, close to the vest, but you wouldn't even, the other people working with you, other flight attendants, didn't know you were writing a book. They didn't know you were working on this while you were working on it.
Oh, most people in my life didn't know I was working on this. I only told my family, you know, just to avoid some sort of intervention, because I think they were concerned that I was leading a double life or something was going on when I would just, you know, disappear on my days off. Again, remember, I was coming off a failure, and that's the only way that I convinced myself to do this was if nobody needed to know. So I only let people in little bit by little bit into what I was working on. And when this went public and suddenly I've got a 2-book deal and a movie deal and all this, I can't tell you how many like close friends and family I had that would call and say, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Congratulations. By the way, you wrote a book? Like, people just didn't know. And yes, my coworkers also, I had several trusted pilot friends who I did let read early drafts and manuscripts so that I could make sure that I was getting it accurate. You know, I can only see so much from the other side of the door. So I did have some help. Like I said, I let people in on a need to know basis. And other than that, I kept it real quiet.
What do you think there is about flight and even the mystery of flight and of aviation itself that has, maybe not lately, but it certainly has its own genre, if you will, whether it be just a film like Airport, or even a comedy like Airplane, or something like Castaway. So it were Lost. I mean, it is a fascination that we have with aviation.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in the conversation, you know, what do you want your superpower to be if you could have a superpower? Like, flight is usually one or two. Like, there's something very primal about the concept of it, and then there's something very universal in our imagination about it. No one doesn't have everyone has a connection to flying. Even if you've never been on a plane, that is a connection to flying, right? So it's just this whole genre that captures the imagination of everyone. I can't tell you how many times I'd be, you know, at like a cocktail party and you meet someone and they say, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a flight attendant. And immediately the conversation goes from there. And everyone always says, oh, this one time I was on this flight. Everybody has a connection to flying.
Yeah.
And what's great is, you know, you talk about the across the board kind of stories, because that's the truth of it. Everyone's got a story, and some of them are funny. Some of them are love connections. My best friend met her husband of 10 years on a plane. You know, it's everybody has a connection, and they're all across the board. And that's what makes aviation, I think, just endlessly fascinating and a ripe source for stories.
My nephew is a pilot, and I bring that up not to underscore your point that everyone has a connection, but more so to say that in my conversations with him, one of the things that he said was that if you're putting all of these people into this tiny space and then you're throwing them up into the air, and people's personalities just dilute, and more so for the passengers, of you see aspects to people's personalities that you probably would never otherwise see because they're in this situation. Do you find that to be the case?
I find that to be absolutely the case. Look, nobody gets on a plane like they're taking a Sunday drive, right? Everybody is on an aircraft for a reason. Are you traveling to a business meeting or vacation? A funeral, a wedding? Are you off to tell the love of your life that they're the love of your life? Did you just get broken up with and are going, you know, home? Everyone's emotions are heightened. You add to that then the stress of airport traffic and airport security, crying babies, jet lag. It's just an absolute It's just a scenario that just brings out aspects of people's personalities that sometimes you can tell they don't even know about.
Yeah. I want to talk about the terrorist aspect of the novel. You make these terrorists, we have sympathy with these two guys. You give them a backstory. And I find that not only admirable, but highly unusual. Give us a sense of how that came about to have the perpetrators of this horrible thing that they're plotting, that ultimately gives them some context as to what they're doing.
Yeah, thank you for that. The end, I can't say too much without giving away too much
No,
of
I
the
know.
book, but what I can say is that I wrote the antagonist storyline to tell a story that was the opposite of the stereotypical terrorists that we've seen. This isn't a story of our enemies, but a story of America's friends who we betrayed. And as a flight attendant, we're trained to look empathetically at the passengers, at everyone, right? If a passenger is giving me a lot of resistance and attitude, before I react, stop and think, okay, did they just spend an hour in security? Did they miss their first flight and now they're going to be late to wherever they were going? And I think that that is a worldview that I try to apply here and in my life in general, just a lens of empathy and trying to figure out what brought you to this point. And I applied that to the antagonist storyline to a much larger degree, because I think it's just a helpful way to look at the world.
Well, it is just a stunning novel. It's relentless. It's a perfect thriller, and it's now out. It's called Falling. It is published by Avid Reader Press. TJ Newman, thank you so much for being with us and sharing with us, and congratulations on the wonderful work.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you so much.
Thank you. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. You can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.